And we welcome you, viewers, to another exciting episode of Evil by Default podcast. I am your host, Alistair Sharkwater.
And I'm your lovely evil host, Jamie Strode.
Now, today we're going a bit back to our origins and starting off with a review for what looks like a badass beer. It's called Bovey Bock. And it has the symbol of a skeleton whose teeth are made of bullets with the dual-wielding Bowie knives. I would watch the shit out of this movie.
Hell yeah. So we got an ABV of 5.3%. Oh, and this is actually by Freetail, baby. So San Antonio, Texas, right here. So we're going to crack this baby open. You know how this goes, guys.
Texas, appropriate for the movie we're going to review.
I like to pour mine in the glass. Alistair, go ahead.
Drink it straight.
Oh, that looked good. Oh, I'm leaking a little bit. That's just my excitement, though. I don't know how to keep it under control anymore.
I'm getting a whiff like beer.
Damn. Is that what we're drinking?
We'll find out. We're taking a... Ooh, that looks dark.
Yeah, that is really dark. It looks like a brown ale.
All right. Let's find out in 3, 2, 1. Oh. I keep expecting that bitterness to kick in, but it never does.
It does. That's ridiculously smooth. Very, very smooth. It has no bitterness. And it's very true. You're waiting for it. It just doesn't happen. Damn. My bony friend. You going down smooth.
We will be seeing you again.
For sure. Guys, pick up a 6-pack. We got this one at HEB, so definitely check out your local HEB. That's good stuff. So, let's get into this. So,
speaking of Texas.
Yeah.
Our film we're reviewing right now, it is the movie X.
Distributed by A24 and directed by T. West.
I was giggling like crazy when they said it said they're in Houston.
Oh, Houston, Texas. So it's taking place in the year of 1979 in Houston, Texas, baby.
And our heroes, they want a bit of that infamy. And this is well before the days of YouTube, where you could watch whole episodes of Naruto.
We have a great cast. Honestly, there's actually a really great cast for this film. So we have Jenna Ortega. And, you know, that's really cool. I love her last name. You don't really hear that around a lot. That is my mom's maiden name.
Oh.
Yeah, Ortega. So it was nice to...
Any relation?
Oh, I wish. I know, right? I'm going to have to go backtrack this.
Family tree.
Family tree, definitely. Mom, you got a lot of explaining to do. Well, Jenna Ortega.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
We're willing to bring up a lot of family shame if it means we get a star on this podcast.
Yeah, no shit. If I'm embarrassing you, I'm also embarrassing myself. But you will also remember her from the Netflix series You. I think it was season 2?
Season 2. Yeah, she was wonderful in that. She was also in The Babysitter Part 2, Killer Queen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a good one. I totally forgot about that. That is correct.
This whole cast is like, oh, they were in this and this.
Yeah, it's awesome to point them out. We also have, oh my God, the beautiful, I think she's gorgeous, Mia Goth. She's playing as Maxine. And I remember her from, I believe it's called A Cure for Wellness, if I'm not mistaken.
I need to see it because it's the director of Pirates of the Caribbean, but doing a horror movie.
Interesting. Okay, see that? I didn't know. That's actually awesome. She also plays, I definitely remembered her from this one, really excellent performance. And the remake, the 2018 Suspiria. And if you guys haven't seen that movie, I highly recommend it.
Also, we have, and this was the most surprising for me, Brittany Snow as Bobby Lynn. She's never done anything like this before. Usually she plays, you know, the villain in teen movies or real wholesome girl next door vibes, but she plays a infamous stripper and porn star in this. And I'm Hats off, man. When you show range like this.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to drink to that, dude. Because I think she really also too might have went out of her comfort zone to show some nice titties. Mm-hmm. Drink to that. You know, she did. He is right. Alistair, you're definitely right. You prove a good point. She always played that mean girl. There is one movie for sure that always stuck to me. She plays the victim in Prom Night.
Really? Oh, that's right.
Yes. She is the main character, Brittany Snow in Prom Night.
Also, she was in Pitch Perfect. It's not horror related. I just goddamn love that movie.
You know, Poison Apple brought that up to me too as well, but I have not watched any of them, but she told me she comes out in all, is there three of them? I think she said all three of them. She comes out in all three.
The trilogy, yes.
Yes, I have not seen. I think I've seen part one and that's as far as it went. I remember it was pretty funny, but I didn't finish it. I'm sorry, guys.
They go to Europe.
Oh, whoa. Fame. Hey man, a lot of things are going to happen in Europe. I'm going to have to look into that one.
Also, we have Owen Campbell, and punched me in the solar plexus with the revelation. He was the main character in Super Dark Times.
One of the episodes that we have done, it's one of my beloved favorites, and I recognize them really quick. If you guys have not heard that episode of ours, please check it out, Super Dark Times. But he plays the main character in that film.
And we also have Martin Henderson as Wayne. Kind of the owner of the strip club the girls frequent or work.
It definitely reminds us of Texas-born Matthew McConaughey.
Jesus, him and Owen Campbell as RJ. I swear to God, it's like, and Owen Campbell looks very, very similar to Luteo Pucci, another big time, a great act. I think I'm saying the name right. An incredible actor, and in a lot of horror movies I like, including Spring. You got to see that if you haven't.
I have not seen it, and you know what? Also, too, this guy must be a vampire because he does not freaking age. He does not age.
Both of these guys, it's like ordering Matthew McConaughey and Lou Taylor Pucci on Wish, and getting not exactly the same, but it works just as well.
Just as well. And not last but not least, we have rapper Kid Cudi playing as Jackson.
I really like this work in here. I like it when musicians come in to acting and just knock it out of the park. And real, real good, real solid performance.
Oh, for sure. I don't know if this was his first film, but if it is, I'm pretty sure this is going to take off for him.
Also, was that, I seen the shadow, was that... was that anatomically right? Was he hanging?
The shadow. Oh. The one where he's hung?
Yes.
Is that what we're going for?
I'm talking basketball. Can see it from like the knees.
You know, I was in the theaters when I first saw this movie. And it took me a little while to realize what was hanging in between his legs. You just see a silhouette of it. And the first thing I yelled out in the theater, "Oh my God!" And everybody in the theater just started laughing. I was like, whoops, but I saw it so late and I could not stop laughing after that. I'll drink to that.
Should have warned me. I could have worn the 3D glasses. Oh no, should have warned me. I wouldn't have worn the 3D glasses.
No, that's things. Not, that wouldn't be up in front. That would be up and personal.
It hits you right in the face.
Nunchucks to you.
You wait until after I take a swig to say that. Oh my God.
Swallow it, baby.
Why does everyone say that? There was one time I was drinking two straws and my friend said, "That's right, two in the mouth."
Damn! You set yourself up.
I tend to do that.
All right, so...
what were we talking about again?
Oh, damn, man. We haven't even gotten into describing this movie and, oh man, this is already getting really hot and heavy.
We start off aspiring actors Maxine Meeks, Bobby Lynn, along with their producer boyfriend Wayne and actor Jackson Hole. They decide, hey, we've been doing this for a while. We're not getting any younger. Let's try to find a way to make some quick bucks. You know, this is days before OnlyFans. So the only way to do that is to make what they call a video nasty.
A video nasty, a porno. And you see, and there's already so many pornos out there, but their mission is to make this the best porno of all time, the first of its kind. So they want to get up and personal. They want to also not just make this a porno, but a romantic, a storyline, not just getting straight into the... I don't know if that came out. You guys get the point, but we want to make this personal. Exactly. So they want to get pretty romantic with this porno, a good porno, something that people will enjoy watching.
And they recruit local film student RJ and his girlfriend Lorraine to do the sound and video camera work and editing. RJ's real excited. It's a chance to get some paying work. Have his name get out there and really experiment with some European editing tactics.
For reals, like something, yeah, straight out of, I don't know, France, man. You're going to get nasty. You're going to get romantic. A lot of tongue. This is really good for all of them. They're all trying to make it big in some way. And we have our main character, Mia Goth, who's playing Maxine. And she wants to be big. She wants to be famous. It starts off with her, of course, in the stripper joint. She's
snorting cocaine,
baby. It doesn't get any more rock and roll than that. But she looks herself in the mirror. Oh man, she's so beautiful in this film. I swear. I don't know if these were natural, but she has a lot of freckles in this film, and I think that was just like the cherry on top. I don't know. I think that just really put it out there for me. But she looks herself in the mirror and she always tells herself that you're going to be a fucking sex symbol. And that, I mean, that's the American dream, right?
And her boyfriend, I was worried he'd be, you never hear good things about, you know, guys who own strip clubs or guys who run porno. But he seems really sweet, really supporting.
Takes care of his girls.
Exactly.
So they go off into a mission. And they're all packing up their bags. You got the whole gang. And they're loading up in the van, almost like Scooby-Doo. Right?
Oh, my God.
Dude, they all load up in the freaking... It's almost like a Scooby-Doo van.
You know Velma would be down for that.
I can't see without my glasses.
You can cut this out, but there was some cosplay where it was Velma looking for her glasses, and right next to her was a cosplayer, Cyclops, looking for his glasses. It's adorable.
That's so cute.
Anyway, they hop in, and according to Wayne, they can't film in the city. So they go to a small town, an isolated farm. Let me know when this sounds familiar. They go to a gas station to load up on supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Getting looks from the locals.
Again, those heebie-jeebie vibes, which is also, that's one of my go-to phrases. And that phrase generally comes out in this film. Doesn't get any more old school than that, guys.
Everyone arrives at the farmhouse owned by farmers Howard and Pearl.
Oh, we do got to talk about that gas station scene.
They
actually put out their first scene at the gas station.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. So RJ stops and he's taking his first take, and it's of Jackson pumping gas into the van. And what I love about Bobby, she gives him the nice helpful tip, right? It's a very, very good helpful tip. She tells him, she's like, no, you know, if you take that camera angle from the gas nozzle, it'll look like he's shooting it from his cock.
Followed by
masculinely
filling.
So fucking hot and heavy, guys.
Oh god, I hope my family doesn't listen to this episode.
That's my boy.
Anyway, also at the gas station, Maxine and Bobby kind of notice that they're getting looks from Lorraine. Kind of seems judgmental, but as we find out later, it's more curious.
Yeah, she's having some deep thoughts of their sexual encounters.
Exactly, and about their lifestyle, which, you know, I always judge people how they act, you know, not what they do. And these are very are very genuinely sweet people.
They are, and they're very professional about what they do as well.
Our heroes arrive at the farm, and they are greeted by Howard. And Howard, oh, his memory's a bit hazy. He's like, "You from the city? I told you city folk what happened." Takes out the double barrel, points it at Wayne, and Wayne's like, "Now, sir, I talked to you earlier." Why am I doing a southern accent? He's Texas.
No, keep going with it, baby.
I talked to you earlier in regards to renting out your cabin near the lake. The lake with all the amoebas. Man, that's why I don't fuck with lakes. Not Friday the 13th. I don't want flesh-eating amoebas in my brain.
We've seen too many horror movies.
This is not a horror movie. This is goddamn real life fact.
You're right. You know what? You're absolutely right.
I've seen
all these horror stories originate from something, some real life scenario.
And Howard is like, "Oh yeah, I remember you. You said it would be one person." And Wayne brandishes a couple more bills and like, "Oh, I figured this may help soothe matters." And Howard takes the money and is like, "I reckon I don't like you, Wayne. Good day, sir."
I don't like how any of y'all look.
"Also, don't come by the property. My wife, she gets confused." Little did we know how far that statement was true.
Courtney. So they're ready. They're settling in real nice and...
You cover up the man titties.
Oh my god. Honestly, guys, we're professionals, so we're just having fun with this, okay? But they start getting settled in. They're freshening up. And we have RJ, we have Lorraine. They're already setting up their mic, they're setting up their camera. First sex scene take is going to be played by Jackson and Bobby Lynn. And it gets straight into it, slaps her on the bed. She's butt naked.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You skipped the best part.
I'm sorry. Whoa.
Calm yourself down.
I'm sorry. I'm getting hot and bothered, guys. Whoa.
I started off with the dialogue. "Excuse me, man. My car broke down the road." "Oh, I'm sure we can help you out. My dad is out in town. Oh, I hope he doesn't come by too soon to find a strange man. Strapping man here." You can't skip the plot.
You're right. Well, you know what? Why don't you come inside while we wait for my daddy so he can drive you into town? Oh, maybe you might want to come into the bedroom with me. I don't know what's come over me. Whoa, man. I'm getting sweaty here.
And after... We had to turn off all the fans in here to get the sound quality just right. Anyway. That's why you're sweating.
I'm sorry. Oh.
Anyway. The first scene is filmed. And Lorraine comes to the conclusion, the old man doesn't know what we're doing here. And Wayne says, "Well, now better to ask forgiveness than permission. That's what I say, I say, I say." Foghorn Leghorn. My accents change constantly. You could tell that from our episode of The Host.
Yeah, it's going to be going back and forth, but I really hope you guys enjoy it. I feel like we're doing this too well.
I feel like we're doing it horribly, but...
Oh, no, I think it's great.
That's why we got editing, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, one of my favorite parts, too, is during this beautiful sex scene, a romantic sex scene, because this is what they're going for.
Of course.
RJ's like, "Hey, you know what? Do a little bit of sexy talk, you know, get a little bit romantic." And he's just like, "Boy, shut the hell up and just watch me do what I do." And you see Bobby Lynn, she starts cracking up and giggling. And he's like, "Oh, I got to get this." And he puts the camera on her while she's giggling. And she's like, "Oh, no way." Like, it's something she doesn't want caught on camera, and goes back into like, she gets back into character after her little giggling session. One of my favorite parts. I couldn't stop laughing at that.
My favorite part is right after this, he's like, "I'm just," the main actor is like, "I'm just too talented at this." And Lorraine is like, "Really? Oh my God. oh my God, I've never felt this way before. And then just looks at him like, come on.
He's like, I think I'm in love with you. And she's like, oh, you poor soul.
Anyway, Maxine is before her scene. She's wandering around the property. No, she decides to go for a skinny dip.
Oh, yes, into the filming. Lake.
And while she's swimming, she goes out to the middle of the lake, and there's a crocodile. There's a crocodile or alligator.
No, you're actually right. It's I know a lot of people get confused between the alligator and crocodile, but from the side view, it's definitely a crocodile.
Well, it's good to know, and for one of our future reviews.
Oh, I like where this is going, guys. Sneak preview. But you got to enjoy this scene very much when she's skinny dipping in the lake. Because they have I really love the cinematography during this film. I mean, during the scene. So it does a high up camera angle looking down on her. And she's just kind of floating so effortlessly, right? She's kind of like in this triangle form. It's very beautiful. And you just see these beautiful ripples. Just, it's almost like they're vibrating off of her body into the lake. And so it's a beautiful top view. I really appreciated this. Beautiful top. You know what I mean.
You pervert.
I am. Filth. I'm just appreciating this so much.
And as she begins to swim, we notice other ripples in the water coming towards her. That of a gator. And it gets closer and closer and closer and closer. And before it's able to attack, she, you know, muscles up back onto the pier, completely unaware of the danger she had just evaded, which I thought is a really good metaphor for the dangerous situation they're all in and don't know yet.
It was definitely nail-biting. So she comes out of the lake, gets her overalls back on, and she's about to already head back. She already knows that she's due for her next scene. And she looks up at the house, and she sees the elderly woman, the wife. And she's just staring at her and waving at her. She's like, do I wave back? Not sure. And she starts motioning for her to come over here. You know, I mean, she's not saying it right, but I'm pretty sure she's like, come here, child. You know, come over here. So she goes in. And, you know, she walks on over and she invites her inside. And she offers her a glass of lemonade and everything about this looks very old-fashioned, so I'm loving this pour of lemonade into a nice glass.
And she also has a preacher on in the TV, someone who very familiar to Maxine, but we don't know, we don't learn that yet.
Something that cuts in and out quite often in this film.
And the old lady shows her around, is like, am I Howard served in both World War One and Two? Came back, started a farm, and living here ever since. I was a dancer. I was young and pretty like you were.
Look at yourself, child, in the mirror. You're special.
And Howard gets home and pretty much shoos Maxine away.
And she says, this will be our little secret.
Like, what secret?
Exactly. And Maxine's looking at her like, what the fuck? She doesn't say it out loud, but she's mouthing the words like, what do you mean secret? So she takes off through the back and runs back to their little...
Oh, that's right. Howard didn't see her.
No, okay. He didn't see her.
My memory's a bit off.
Yeah, it was definitely a secret.
All right. Mm-hmm. So she runs off back to the little cabin. And then she gets told it's time for her scene. And her scene, she's like, oh, you must have met my sister.
he's like, oh, she didn't tell me about no sister. Yeah, well, she must be jealous. I'm the younger, prettier one. And daddy doesn't like her to leave the farm.
And this takes place in the barnyard, which is how Pearl is able to walk by, and she's like, what the, she does a double take at the window. I was like, what's going on here?
She's loving, she's looking, and she's lacking. And what she's watching is, well, actually, before they get to that sex scene, I have to put this out there.
Yes.
I love how, you know, right before they get into the sex scene, she's about to walk out with the bucket of milk. She was obviously milking a cow. And so she's about to leave the barn, and the barn doors are just cracked just a little bit, enough for that sunset light to beam in. So she's right in the center of that, and she looks back at him. And I just thought that was the money shot right there. That was hot. That was heavy. That was sexy. That was nail biting, guys.
And afterwards, that concludes their work for the day. So they all are having some beers, playing some music in the living room as well, they're not teens, but as you tend to do in a horror movie. And Lorraine, she's been quiet the whole time. Even Wayne gave her the nickname Church Mouse. She starts asking questions, you know, like, it doesn't bother you that it's your fiance and having sex with another man? And he says, well, you know, he's a friend, and, you know, as long as it's done for the camera. And they give each other a nod, like, yeah, buddy, yeah, like the good friends. And, well, you worded it better than I did when it came to...
You're okay. I know where you're getting with this.
With
so
Bobby Lynn.
Yes, Bobby Lynn. Oh my gosh, sweet girl. I love to impersonate her, right? Because she just has the best accent in this film. She pulls it off so well. She says, honey, she's like, when it comes to sex and love, gay, straight, black, or white, it's disco, baby. Fucking hot.
And Jackson plays some music while she sings. And after the song is done, and actually intertwined with the song is Pearl putting on her dress, her makeup, trying to look, making herself look real pretty for her husband. Sorry, the accent kind of kicked in naturally. It's like when I drive past the Border Patrol, I'm like, howdy, officer.
You're right.
And after the song is done, Lorraine comes out and says, I want to be in the movie. And her boyfriend, RJ, is like, what?
You can't be in the movie.
Why not? Because you can't be in the movie.
And she's like, why do you have to be such a prude?
And Wayne sees the situation might be getting out of hand. So he asks RJ, to come outside with him. And he tells RJ, look, boy, you ain't been 42, but I've been 23. I gotta tell you, if you say no, she's just gonna do it anyway and break up with you. Which, there's definitely a situation you gotta talk to your partner before.
Yeah, not out in a crowd full of people. Definitely the wrong way to come about it.
You don't want to peer pressure your way to this.
Exactly.
You might have a relationship afterwards.
Yeah. But Jackson's like, you.
Oh, and poor man. They made him film it.
Oh, yeah.
They made him film it.
He is the cameraman. He's only going to get these right angles. The angles that will scar him for life.
Oh, no. And afterward, and during this, Pearl goes to her husband, Howard, and just like, Howard, show me what it's like to be a woman. She doesn't say this. I'm just paraphrasing.
But I'm sure it's what she's thinking. But it's gonna. And it is really sad. She comes in very dolled up. She has her makeup on. She puts on this beautiful green emerald dress, and she's trying to entice him and be romantic and come on to him. And he's leaning in, and he wants to so bad, but he stops, and he's like, no, you know I can't. He's like, my heart.
The doctor said it would explode it. It's too powerful. The love making.
The wholeness.
I have a glory home in the goat barn. Cut that out. Anyway, RJ's in the shower, and he's just like, fuck this. He goes, he gets the keys, like, and see him try to do this without me. He gets in the car. He's about to drive off, and Pearl is there in the in the driveway in her dress, and he gets out. He's like, "Are you okay, lady?" And she starts coming on to him. She starts unbuttoning that top bun. She starts with the little butterfly kisses on the neck. And he's like, "Whoa, what are you doing?"
He's cringing. He's like, "No." She's trying to unbutton her now nightgown. He's like, "No, I don't want it." And she gets really upset, and they're just staring at each other, and she just stabs him in the fucking jugular.
Oh, and he falls down right in front of the car. This is what makes them worse villains than in the villains in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. In that movie, they wanted your meat. They want to eat you. This one, the horny. There's going to be penetrating tonight. If it's not by you, it will be to you.
Yes.
With metal.
Fucking rock and roll. And so she takes the knife out, stabs him on the other side of the fucking neck. Then he flops down to the floor, and she sits on him. It's almost so very sexually too, but she sits on him and she continues to stab him in the neck and the jugular multiple times. And in the background, you can hear the radio from the car, and it's blaring "Don't Fear the Reaper."
And the blood splatter is getting to the headlights. So literally, as the more and more she's stabbing him, the redder and redder the scene is becoming. As a beautiful transition.
It was very glorious. I really appreciated that very much, the cinematography that they went for on this one. And also too, I'm a weirdo, okay? So for some reason, when it comes to stab scenes, in my head, I'm counting how many times they stab them. I don't know what it is. So in total, how many times she stabbed him in the neck till it was practically gone? She stabbed him 23 fucking times. And then she orgasmed.
That's what it looked like. Yeah, she made that hentai face.
Yeah, and her eyes went a little cross-eyed, and she kind of...
Back to the cabin. Lorraine wakes up and is like, RJ, where are you? She's looking around. She's real worried. Wayne comes out, and it's dark. You can't see Wayne. Wayne's like, "Church Mouse, what are you looking at?" I was like, "It's RJ. I think he might have run off." And Wayne looks out. He's like, "The car's still here." And Lorraine's like, "Will you help me look for him?" And RJ's like, "All right." And RJ puts on some boots. He walks out. And now you can see. No. Wayne walks out. He puts on some boots. And now you can see he's only wearing a banana hammock. He did not bother to put on any clothes. No, wait. He didn't even put on boots, because I remember that now.
He's wearing white tidy whities, guys.
It was not tidy whities. I think they were yellow. Definitely spandex.
Oh, that's hot. That's honestly hot. That's even hotter.
I'm just saying the bulge was noticeable. I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect the fact he doesn't give a fuck.
It's very European of him.
Lorraine makes it to the house, and Wayne makes it to the barn. Wayne's walking around. He's like, RJ, man, I can tell you better not be hiding here. I can tell you right now, this ain't cool. And he steps. And they show a board and a nail from 5 feet away, and you can just see Wayne walking closer and closer and closer until he steps right on it. Oh, the pain. And it's like, RJ, you better not be in here. Just help me up.
Trying to pull out a plank of wood with nails.
That's tetanus for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And it reminded me of when I was younger, when I was like a toddler, something similar like this happened to me. So I was in
shooting
my brother's
a porno?
Room.
No, I'm poor. Oh no, you poor thing. We got to get you to the therapist.
I'm rich.
No.
The American dream.
Sacrifice, no.
So what happened was that when I was a little kid, I was in my brother's room. And I remember I was helping like clean, and I remember I stood back and I didn't realize there was some, I can't remember what it is, but it's something similar. So it was like a piece of wood, real thin, and it had, it wasn't nails. It was staples, right? From a stapler.
Oh my God.
And I stood back on it at the heel of my foot, and I remember screaming in pain, and it was so in there. I could not get it out myself. I remember my mom couldn't get it out either. It was so stuck in there. She had to ice cube the heel of my foot till it got numb for her, in order for her to pull it out without me screaming.
I was just giving you a bunch of bourbon. You see shadows by the barn door, and he kind of limps over there, and he looks through a hole. And I'm thinking, no, 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 no. Because with his eye peeping out, he sees a pitchfork coming right at him. And it stabs him through the eyes. And he dies.
Instantly.
That is a bad way to go.
No shit. He drops to the floor instantly.
Banana hammock just flying out.
He looks sexy. He looks sexy dead, though. And then... Pearl, she comes in, and I guess just to make sure that he is dead, she just walks aside, looks at his dead corpse, gives it one final little poke with the pitchfork. She's like, yep, that'll do it. She starts raking the hay and putting it on top of him, and I'm over here thinking to myself, nothing to see here. Just starts covering up his body like nothing completely happened. I can just... This never happened.
And Lorraine gets to the house, and Howard asks her for help because his wife is missing. She does this sometimes. She gets confused.
She forgets.
And Lorraine's looking for RJ, but you know, she has to be the good Samaritan. She's got to help this guy find his wife. And he's like, could you get some torches from the basement? I can't see you too well. And she goes down, and she's able to find the flashlights. And with the flashlight, she's able to find an overhead light. She turns it on. She turns and finds a naked dude, dead guy, hanging from the rafters. And this, you get that trailer movie style scream. Ah! She goes to the door. She tries to open it, but it's locked. She's like, "Hey, you locked me in here!" And then Howard's like, "You shut up, Dad. No, it's good for you."
She's terrified about what she saw in the basement. And it was, a dead guy, but his wiener's hanging out. Pearl, you got some explaining to do.
I applaud movies that will show brain. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. And the next scene, it goes to Jackson at back in the cabin getting some water. And Howard, he can hear Howard in the yard with his shotgun yelling, "Pearl, Pearl." Jackson goes out. He's like, "What's going on, old man?" The old man says, "My wife, she's walking around. She gets confused sometimes, that old chestnut." And he's there. You can see the light behind him, but you can't really see Jackson that well. But you could see the outline of... Dom,
the silhouette of his wang,
and he says tells the old man shows the old man his dog tags because the old man, he knows the old man had served, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll help you out."
He's like, "I've served in Vietnam too."
And they're out. They go to the lake, and Jackson finds a submerged car there, and he goes. And he goes, he sees the flashlight down on the ground. He's like, old man, I'll save you. But it's just the flashlight. He comes back out of there, and the old man's there. He's like, "I've done seen young people like you before coming in half-dressed and stuff. I can't give my wife what she wants." And then he shoots Jackson, which I'm like, I really like this guy.
I was really rooting for him, man.
Oh, and then we get back to the cabin, and Pearl just sneaks in the bed with Maxine, just cuddling that soft young flesh.
Just caressing her ever so gently.
And it goes, and the scene goes back to Lorraine. She gets a hammer. She's trying to get out through the front door of the basement, and she's able to bust open a hole in the door. And she tries to reach for the lock, but then you see a hammer go down, boom, boom, boom on her hand. You see the finger kind of almost completely sever off, hanging there by skin. And she's like, "Ah!" And the old man, Howard, is just like, "You better stay put." Back in the cabin, Maxine's starting to wake up like, "Oh, what's going on? What's going on?" She turns, she sees Pearl. And she's like, "Ah!" Ah, her screams wake up Bobby Lynn. And Bobby Lynn opens the door, sees the naked old lady run out with surprising speed. And Maxine says, she was in bed with me. And Bobby Lynn goes out to see, help the old lady, because obviously confused. And Maxine goes to put herself together in the bathroom. However, she notices, when she's cleaning herself, she notices that she has blood on her side from when Pearl grabbed her. Anyway, Bobby Lynn follows Pearl to the lake. And she's like, are you okay? And Pearl angrily accuses Bobby Lynn of being, she calls her a bunch of names, mainly variations of you whore.
You slut. You bimbo.
And she pushes Bobby Lynn into the lake. And then the alligators return. Get her right in the face.
It was actually a very brutal scene. It was very brutal. And also, too, so going back, I mentioned when we first see the appearance of the creature, it is a crocodile. But later on in the film, for some reason, I don't know why, but they changed the appearance of the creature, and it's an alligator. But I know my difference. And
only you would know that.
I would know that. I grew up watching The Crocodile Hunter, so I would know definitely the difference between a crocodile and an alligator. But the first appearance of it was the appearance of a crocodile, but later on, just for it to be an alligator for the rest of the film. So it gets a little bit confusing. But it was a brutal scene, and she gets knocked in there, and she's getting, you know, torn apart. She's getting twisted with this alligator. And it's, I guess what makes it so brutal is that she's trying to scream, and it's just, and it's so ugly, and she's getting twisted and turned, drowning, while also getting mutilated.
And Maxine sees Howard return with the shotgun to the guest house. After noticing the bluff, she's showing precaution. She's hiding under the bed. Mm-hmm. And then Howard meets Pearl there at the house. They're talking about the murders. And then Pearl's like, please, I've never needed it more than I need it now. And the old man's like, okay. And then they start just plowing right on the bed.
It's like, Maxine, oh, Howard.
Make me feel young again.
Beds creaking and squeaking.
Play the twist again. And Maxine's just like, she's going like Solid Snake. She's like sneaking out. Like, did it? What was that? Man, I'm trying to think of that music. Like,
it's like Mission Impossible.
Mission.
There you go. It's only how we imagined it.
She gets out. She runs to the car. She sees RJ's dead body, and the keys are missing. She hears screaming in the house. She hears Maxine. She lets Maxine out of the door. Maxine is blaming her. You blame the killers, okay? You never blame.
Yeah, exactly. She was totally fucking out of line. And she tries to run out and escape, like, well, the hell with you. She runs out the fucking screen door. Bam! She gets fucking shot in the side of the fucking face.
Oh, she went flying for a little bit.
Oh, man. It was hardcore. It was awesome. Funny at the same time. We've seen way too many movies. We may be cruel, but it was also funny.
We are very numb to violence.
Yes. We have a dark sense of humor.
Anyway, as Howard and Pearl begin moving the body, Lorraine kind of spasms to life for a second before dying, but the shock is enough to give Howard a heart attack. And Pearl goes to attend, but then Maxine comes out with the gun from the van that she had taken, and she aims it, and Pearl's like, my husband, he's got a weak heart, and she's like, fuck your husband.
Fuck his weak heart.
And Pearl is just saying some shit to Maxine, for Maxine is like, I'm gonna blow you away, and clicks the gun. The gun just goes click, click, click. There weren't any bullets in there. And Pearl grabs Howard's shotgun, and Maxine just like sidesteps real quick. I'm talking, this is some 90s action movie, you know, gets in the chopper, diving. And Pearl shoots the gun and goes flying 5 feet back to the floor.
It's really hardcore. And it's funny because when this scene happened, So it made me realize, going back to the very intro of this film, mm-hmm. it's two officers, you know, entering the crime scene. And I remember seeing, a bed sheet over a dead body, obviously with blood. But after seeing this scene, it was not covered in a bed sheet. It was Pearl herself in her nightgown.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Yes! And that's what really threw me off.
Know that.
Yeah, dude, it really, like, I was like, whoa, holy shit, that wasn't just a person covered in a bed sheet with blood. It was Lorraine herself in her nightgown covered in blood. It was fucking awesome.
Oh my god. I'm just reading this right now. Mia Goth played both Maxine and Pearl, the old woman.
Yeah, that was the twist of the whole entire film.
Holy shit.
Hence why I didn't mention in the very beginning, this was the hugest twist plot of the film.
Well, it's not a twist plot. You never find out that fact.
Oh yeah, that is true.
They're playing separate characters, but holy shit.
Very talented actress.
Anything she is in from the future, I'm watching.
Hell yeah. She's very talented and she's gorgeous.
Back to the movie.
Just a fun fact, guys.
And you have some conservative preacher on the radio. He's been playing throughout the whole movie. You can hear his words, but she's walking. And Maxine goes to Pearl, and Pearl's like, I broke my hip. You know, which is this whole damn movie is a good life alert commercial. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that. But and Maxine's just like, fuck you. Gets the keys, gets to the van, and Pearl's yelling, I'll tell the world what I knew what you were doing in there. I'll tell the world what you are. And Maxine's just like, fuck this bitch. And reverses the car over her head and explodes like a balloon.
That was honestly really awesome. And I really love that. So it's nice because a plot twist of all of that is that it goes back to, so it goes to the officers from the very intro. So it goes back to the ending of the officers coming inside the home mm-hmm. of all these dead corpses. And again, the preacher's playing on the television for the preacher on TV to reveal that his daughter is
Maxine.
And it makes a lot of sense. That was a huge, huge twist, a huge twist of the film. And makes sense too, because she would always stare at herself in the mirror and always say, I do not deserve a life. Wait, she says, I do not wish to live a life I do not deserve.
And that's the same thing the preacher says.
Exactly. The exact same words her father, the preacher, would say on the television.
Anyway, cops are looking over the crime scene and they find the camera. And it's like, I wonder what was going on, what they were filming here. And the cop says, from what looks of things, well, fucked up horror movie. Bam. Credits.
But they're holding a treasure in their hands. Now, I also have to ask you, Alistair.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch this from the very beginning? I do not know if this is true. Okay, so this is something very new, and I'm going to bring it up to you. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it all the way through the credits?
I did not finish the credits. Was there a Marvel-style after credit scene where,
yes.
where Leatherface was yes. just like, I could...
yes!
Like, you like killing people, young teens on folks in farms. I like that.
So apparently, okay, I watched this film in the movie theaters when it first got released. And I did not stay to the end of the credits. I didn't think anything of it, so I left. Apparently, I have a coworker who also went to the movie theaters to see this film. He said that once you stay for the credits, it shows something at the very end.
What does it show?
Basically, it's going into the prequel of Pearl.
Oh.
And that's how you would know that they were going to make a prequel or a sequel to this movie. But it's a prequel, guys. And it's of Pearl's life.
The dancer who couldn't get enough of it.
Exactly. Who regretted not fucking while she was young. Fucking enough while she was young. Let me rephrase that. You're only young once.
This is not life advice, viewers. You do what you gotta do. You do
yeah.
what you do.
You want that rock and roll life? Hell, do it.
Is there anything left to go over? Wait, yes. This brings me to the fact not the fact, to the debate of elevated horror.
Okay.
People, this was the same quality, if not a little better or a little worse, than the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. While this one got critical acclaim, that one got just shredded up. So all people who claim elevated horror above anything, get your head out of your ass.
No, definitely, because this movie is really up there. This movie is very refreshing and is exactly what we needed.
It is extremely well shot, well edited, well done, well acted. It's a slasher. We're all here for that bloodshed, baby.
There's cocaine. No... There's titties. There's big schlongs.
There's blood splatter. These are our politics.
Dude, this is America, baby.
Okay, maybe big schlongs. You know, I don't.
Oh, sorry. Well,
Yes. Yes, they are. This is my political
platform. We all want big things.
This is my political platform.
Nowadays, not saying that I'm hating on remakes, but nowadays all you just see is nothing but remakes of the horror franchise. And this is something, you know, out there. It was refreshing. I honestly went into this blind and I felt like I was straight up watching a movie literally that was filmed in the era of the 70s or late 70s.
It was actually filmed in New Zealand.
Wow.
I know.
Amazing. You see, like... The new things you find out, that is amazing. But I really felt like it was taking place. It was shot in that same era.
And the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think it was like Bulgaria or something. Or
wow.
It was somewhere European.
Wow, guys.
Just film in Texas. Texas, give tax credit. Come on.
No shit. Like, come on. We definitely have those mossy grasses, mossy lakes. Come on. Just check it out. We have the scenery.
Unrelenting dude, sun.
It takes a day or more than a day to get out of Texas. There's so much to explore. We have so much to offer and show.
Spooky stuff. Barbecue. Great beer. Gorgeous women. We have it all.
We have it all, guys. Texas, baby. Doesn't get any bigger than that.
No bigger.
just ask Jackson.
With that said, we thank you for joining us, our dear viewers. This is Alistair Sharkwater.
And this is your lovely Eva host, Jamie Strode. Signing off. Stay spooky.